Happy Monday, Bucks fans, and welcome to Monday Morning Joe, the podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The podcast is proudly presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. It's a tough day. It is a tough day to be a Bucks fan because it just never gets easier, you know? And even when we lose, we just can't lose like a sort of a normal team. There's always got to be some sort of mind-blowing element to it, like letting up 500-something yards and Julio Jones going wild and the Bucks not manning up on the guy, giving him so much cushion. And it's always freaking messy. And then, of course, there's the 27-6 hole they dug for themselves, which is non-competitive football. And you can't play non-competitive football. The NFL is a competitive league. Parody. It's everywhere, every freaking week, but not always with the Bucks. Too often not with the Bucks, and it's just messy stuff. I've got plenty of that mess to review. I was in Atlanta. We actually had a full house there at JoeBucksFan.com. Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper, myself, our fantastic photographer out there. So the SWAT team was in Atlanta looking for every possible nugget and angle and keeping our eyes open. And I've got definitely have some stuff to share, and there's a lot to go through as we head to December, the final month for Dirk Koetter, the final month for Jason Light, final month for Mike Smith, final month for a lot of these players. I don't know. Now, that's part of what I meant by messy, is that there's a lot to still be figured out. The Glazers have tough decisions ahead. There's just a lot going on. Discount Garage Doors, you've heard me talk about them. Same day free service call to get your garage door fixed, or maybe you need a new one. But you get that same-day free service call, an estimate, a diagnosis. They'll beat any comparable estimate. Remember, Discount Garage Doors, you're going to get a great deal. They service the entire Tampa Bay area, all the way out to Orlando and beyond. This is a great local company. Use your 10% off Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Go to dgdoors.com. There are other discounts available there. Or call 866-420-DOOR. 866-420-DOOR. Call any day, anytime. Again, wide range of doors, family owned and operated. And you'll get that free diagnosis. Get it fixed. Get it fixed before Christmas. Impress your family. Get a new door. Change the look of your house. A lot of great information at dgdoors.com. And Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. A lot of those Black Friday offers, they're still there on the website. I see them. LakelandAutoMall.com, LakelandFord.com. Save up to $12,000 off MSRP with Black Friday savings, including 0% APR financing for up to 6 years, $3,000 above KBB trade value on your trade, a nationwide lifetime warranty on the vehicle, 1 year free scheduled maintenance, and 5 years roadside assistance. It's like a total package. The holidays just got better. Get your new ride before yours gets another year older and take advantage of the huge savings only at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. I was just looking back at the great guys. Sean Sullivan at Lakeland Ford let me borrow a Mustang Roush, if you remember me talking about it, for actually turned out to be close to a week. What a sweet ride. Very affordable. Mustang, Roush, combination of great, great names there. But I was looking at the pictures that I had going through my camera, clearing out some space, and good memories. My youngest still says, are you going to get the Mustang Roush, Dad? You know, can we go for a ride in that? Or, you know, it's funny. I told her we were going out to Plant City, probably, get some strawberries during the season, which is coming up. And she's like, oh, let's go to Lakeland Auto Mall. It was cute, really cute. You should go to Lakeland Auto Mall as well. Ask for Sean Sullivan at Lakeland Ford. Tell him you're a Bucks fan. He'll cry right along with you. Now, a couple of pieces of business. Or this coming Sunday, Packers game, we are going to be out at Rookies Sports Bar, right in Spring Hill, a new location for JoeBucksFan.com's never been out there. I'm going to be out there. Rock Riley's going to be out there. Rookie Sports Bar and Grill, 3095 Anderson Snow Road in Spring Hill. You can find them at RookieSportsBarFL.com. But all the info is going to be on JoeBucksFan.com this week. Some great deals. We'll talk to you. I think I'm even going to bring my equipment if you ever wanted to get on this podcast. Great place to watch the game. And I know my friends from Discount Garage Doors are going to be out there as well. So if you have a garage door question, bring it along with you and bring your beer money. We're going to have a good time. Lastly, on the business front, you know, a lot of you are holiday shopping. Right there on JoeBucksFan.com, you'll see a link to the NFL Photo Store. That's the real NFL.com Photo Store. Use your JoeBucksFan code for 25% off. Send a great gift of a framed photo, NFL photo. It could be the Bucks. It could be any team. It's all right there. Really, the best of the best photos from the NFL. Great stuff, and they frame them. Really good deal. 25% off, which is a big discount. Use your Joe Bucks fan code. Now, where to start? Where to begin with this game? Aside from the painful way the Buccaneers operate, I'm going to start with... you know what? I had a list of where I wanted to start, and oh, here it is. Here it is. We're going real and raw on the podcast today. Here it is. The defense, I'll say this. You know, I think when you indict Jason Light or the personnel team, it's not even that we have below average pass rushers. When you really look at it, when you really look at the film and you see what's happening, we have a massive sample size now of 11 games. They're not even close to below average. These guys are just bad. Bad, bad, bad. Will Golston is no pass rusher whatsoever. They brought in guys, Darrell Tapp, Will Clark. They've got Devontae Bond was rushing off the edge yesterday. And even guys like, I really like Kendall Beckwith. But even when he blitzes, he's not a seasoned pass rusher or blitzer. That's just not his game. You see him hesitating at times. It's just across the board. We don't have good pass rushers, but it's not even that they're subpar. They just stink. And that's just really, really bad news. Really bad news. And it's an indictment of the regime that we've been left in this position. We've talked about it before, banking on Robert Ayers, who's 32 years old. And he's out with a concussion injury. He's been banged up a little bit. He's not horrible. But it's just bad. It is just really bad. You look at the coverage of Julio Jones, right? So I went a little wild. We recorded the Ira Kaufman podcast. I went a little wild yesterday. We did it in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. And I'm not as passionate as crazy today, but I'm still annoyed. And it's still a terrible indictment of Mike Smith. Look, nobody knows Julio Jones better than Mike Smith. Nobody. Nobody. So you knew what you had to do here, and you didn't take him out of the game. And again, it's not like Julio Jones doesn't have big days. The guy's a Hall of Famer. You know, if he has 7 catches for 150 yards, that's a big day for Julio with a touchdown and whatever. But not what he did the other day. That's not an everyday occurrence yesterday for Julio Jones, 250-something yards, 20 yards a catch, and just shredding the Bucs all over the field. That's not an everyday occurrence. And too much cushion off Julio Jones. They were unwilling to match up Brent Grimes one-on-one on the guy. And it was just a bad luck everywhere. So much fear in covering Julio Jones. So much fear. It was almost like watching Vernon Hargraves cover a lot of guys earlier this season who weren't even as good as Julio Jones, just constantly afraid. And all those zero coverage blitzes that Dirk Cutter talked about after the game, he said they ran at least 8. When you basically send the house and it's single coverage in the back, that's a zero blitz. That's Rex Ryan stuff. None of the blitzes got there. None of them got home. None of them sacked Matt Ryan. Sure, we got a couple of pressures off it. But we don't have good blitzers. This team doesn't have good blitzers. Lavonnie David has done some great stuff blitzing in his career, but otherwise, is this a strong blitzing team? I don't think so. Safety blitz? Good safety blitz out of this team? I'm not seeing it. Corner blitzes? All through training camp you saw nickel blitzes and other things. It's just not a good pass rushing team on any level, which doesn't bode well for the remaining 5 games. But Mike Smith's lack of preparedness here against his old team, a team he should know well, a quarterback he knows well, a quarterback he should be able to disguise against and maybe have some trickery ability against, nothing at all. And it's just woefully unprepared defense and combined with bad talent. And man, it shouldn't be that bad. I don't know at this point how Mike Smith is going to save his job. I mean, he was bad. He corrected things. Then he's been really bad. He's been really bad more than he's been even decent as a Buccaneers defensive coordinator. The talent problem isn't on him, but surely they're not really playing up to the talent that they have. But I guess you could make the argument that, hey, if they have no talent, as pass rushers, what NFL defense is going to thrive with no talent in the pass rush? So I don't know. Someone's got to be a scapegoat. That's just life in America. They're not going to bring everybody back and say, hey, guys, you know, you're good coaches, but you didn't have enough talent and everybody can come back. I don't know. I don't know. At this point, it doesn't look good for Jason Light, but still there are games to play. There's guys who can step up. There are significant season left to make those decisions. I'm just not a burn the house down kind of guy on half seasons and partial seasons. But Jason Light has the biggest track record of the Bucks hierarchy here, and it doesn't look good for him. It just doesn't. For Mike Smith, doesn't look good for him either. Dirk Cutter's a different story. At least he's had some success. At least you can point to some things with Dirk. I know others are calling for Dirk's head. You're not going to hear it from me. Do I believe wholeheartedly in Dirk? No. But you know what? When that JoeBucksFan.com confidence poll comes out every Wednesday, I vote yes. I vote confident. I don't vote very confident. I don't vote totally confident, but I vote confident. I'm confident in Dirk Cutter as a head coach. That said, though, horrible, horrible screw-up yesterday. 2nd-and-2. You don't run the football. You break your balls all year begging for a running game. Finally, on a day that you're running the ball better, Doug Martin ran a little better. He got hurt, concussion. Peyton Barber ran strong, especially in short yardage. Jaquizz Rodgers was running well. He was the Bucs' leading ball carrier. And there you are on that drive, trailing by 7. 1st-and-10, Rodgers runs you 8 yards to get to the 19-yard line. 2nd-and-2, and you mail it in on the running game. That's not good football. That's not smart football. That's not good football. You have the Falcons reeling. They're on their heels. They played Monday night in Seattle. Late in the 4th quarter, the following Sunday, this is not a great time for that defense. You got momentum. You want to keep your defense off the field. You want to make them grind, their defense grind as much as you can. And you throw Thanksgiving into the mix for Atlanta. Weird week. But you go 3 passes in a row. I asked Dirk Cutter in the news conference after the game. I said, hey, Dirk, 2nd-and-2, that called to the end zone for DeSean Jackson, was that a play that Ryan Fitzpatrick changed at the line of scrimmage? And Cutter said, no, that was the call. That was the call. Double move, DeSean Jackson, back of the end zone. If you go watch the tape on that film, on that play, Ryan Fitzpatrick, DeSean Jackson wasn't open. He was just throwing it to a spot where it wasn't going to get picked. And if you look at the play, Jaquizz Rodgers is wide open, standing there with nobody within 5 yards of him, right past the chains, 3 yards past the line of scrimmage, 1st down. Move the chains, let's go. It's unfortunate that A, Fitzpatrick didn't go there, and B, that Dirk Cutter wouldn't run the football. It's just mind-boggling. You were running the ball well. What are the Bucs offensive linemen saying this morning? Without a chance to grind that game out, grind out that 1st down. And then, of course, game over because the Bucs can't cover anybody. So it was not a good day for Dirk Cutter, whose team came out flat again and uncompetitive through 35 minutes. I mean, they held off the crowd in Atlanta, raucous crowd, beautiful stadium. They got up 3-0. They got past the first 10 minutes. I think it was tied 3-3 after 1 quarter. Okay. It's not coming out that flat. It's not really fair to say that. But, man, you just didn't have enough to compete. You're down 26-7 in the NFL. 35 minutes in, that's not competitive football. So, I mean, that's another black mark on the Cutter situation. On defense, Justin Evans. I asked Dirk last week. Justin Evans has been getting the most snaps at safety for weeks. I asked him because he was talking about safeties. And all year long, Cutter has said, hey, you want playing time? Play well. Those are the guys who get the playing time. You want to play better, you'll get on the field. Well, so I asked Dirk Cutter. I said, hey, Dirk, Justin Evans is getting the most snaps at safety. So does that mean he's our best safety? Is that fair to say? And Cutter says, no, it's fair to say he's getting the most snaps. It's like, which is it, coach? Which is it? You know, it's answers like that that I think maybe can help lead you to believe and understand why maybe the safety group isn't happy as a whole. Keith Tandy can't get on the field after he played well to close last season. Justin Evans gets all the snaps. Is he the best safety? I don't know. I'm not sure he's better than Chris Conte. TJ Ward, another bad pickup. Another bad pickup. He looks nothing like a Pro Bowler. He's made some stupid plays. He's not making plays. It's just not a good look. Now, what's on everybody's mind is Dirk Cutter, is the coaching situation. Are they going to change coaches? Are they going to go to John Gruden? Are they going to fire Jason Light, whose contract runs out? How are they going to handle this? What coach wants to coach here if the Jameis Winston suspension is hanging over everybody's head? Now we hear from ESPN that Jameis is not going to be suspended or there'll be no conclusion in the NFL investigation this year. So that means it's going to hang over the franchise's head. That stinks. Stinks for the Bucs. And that's the NFL. You think they want to release any sort of investigation news, anything that puts a spotlight on the fact that they have a player who is accused of this kind of stuff? No, the NFL doesn't want to spoil anything. This is their time of year. This is when they're in the spotlight. College football shuts down. It's the playoff push. It's the playoffs. It's the Super Bowl. They don't want the Jameis Winston investigation headlining any news. Maybe we'll hear something in February. But it's messy for the Bucs. It's messy for the Bucs. So people ask us, well, what do you think? What are you hearing, Joe, about Dirk Cutter? I'll say this. Getting a chance to talk to Joel Glazer on an official capacity every year at the owners' meetings, and then having some other chats, short ones, with the Bucs co-chairman through the season, Ed Glazer, Brian Glazer, Joel Glazer, wherever, seeing him at training camp, wherever it might be, seeing him at the games. They are at every game. Every game on the road as well. Look, the Glazers want to win. There's a lot of people out there who think the Glazers don't want to win, and that the Glazers aren't passionate about this team and they don't care. They just want to cash their checks. It's really not the case. It's just wrong. It's not accurate. It doesn't mean they don't want to cash their checks and doesn't mean money is the bottom line business with the Buccaneers. But winning is something they're very passionate about. You don't keep firing coaches if you don't want to win and paying the money. It doesn't mean that they're good owners. Doesn't mean they know what they're doing. Doesn't mean they know how to sell tickets. That doesn't mean they know how to come up with a good marketing plan. It doesn't mean anything. But the Glazers, the current regime, is good at customer service for their season pass holders, and they've become pretty good at spending money. It just hasn't been going in the right directions necessarily. It hasn't paid off for them. But do they want to win? Yeah, you better believe they want to win. And I think what you're going to find from the Glazers at the end of this season, if not sooner, because they have to make some plans. But the question for the Glazers becomes, can we win a Super Bowl with our head coach? Can we win a Super Bowl with our general manager? That is the question that will hit the Glazers. And if the answer is no, then they have to ask themselves, do we have a coach in mind? Do we have somebody available that can do that, that can bring that home? And that question, it has to be yes for them to proceed forward. I don't think there's any desire to keep continuity with Dirk Cutter just for the sake of continuity. I don't think the Glazers are going to care one bit that, oh man, it's a bad look for us to have three coaches in 3 years. Or excuse me, fire three coaches in a row after 2 years. I don't think they'd care about that. If they cared about public perception, they'd be doing a lot of things differently, including how they handled the Jameis investigation, including how they handle a lot of their marketing and face of the franchise stuff. I don't think they care that much about that at all. They just want to get the right guy and win. And that's the ownership I want. At least that's the mentality. I don't want owners worried about, oh, what are somebody going to think about us if we fire coaches every 2 years? No, if you screw up, if you don't have the right guy, go get the right guy. It's life's fluid. Things changed. So it's important, I believe, for the fans to understand the Glazers want to win here. And they're just looking to make the right decision. And which is why I think Cutter goes down to the wire. The Glazers will understand Jameis got injured. The Glazers understand that you don't win very much with a backup quarterback. The Glazers will understand that it's not Dirk Cutter's fault that he doesn't have edge rushers. It's not Dirk Cutter's fault that there's no pass rush here. You're not going to hang that on Dirk Cutter, are you? That they don't have the talent to rush the damn passer. I mean, is there that much Cutter hate out there that we're going to blame Dirk Cutter because he doesn't have the horses to rush the passer in a pass-first league in a division with the three best damn quarterbacks in the league as a trio in a division? Three guys who very likely will be in the Hall of Fame one day. And I say that about Cam Newton is because he's such a unique player and he's put up such unique numbers. And he's got an MVP, and he's been to a Super Bowl, and he's got a lot of years to go. So I'm not hanging that on Dirk Cutter. Believe me, Dirk Cutter wasn't sitting there burning through film on defensive tackles and defensive ends. But you know what? He did say publicly, Dirk, that we don't have $17 million laying around to sign Calais Campbell. Well, who do you think told him that? You think Dirk's managing the accounting of the Bucks? No. Jason Light, or ownership, told him, we're not going after Campbell at $17 million. We're not doing it. Somebody told him that because you know what? The Bucks did have the money. They did have the money, and they chose not to do it. Doesn't mean they would have gotten Campbell. But look, Campbell came to play in Florida, and certainly the Buccaneers looked like the better team entering this season. And now look at Campbell. He's probably going to be defensive MVP if he goes crazy. To close the season, he could even end up as league MVP on the defensive side of the ball, which I'm not even sure we've seen that since Lawrence Taylor. I'd have to look that up. He had a touchdown yesterday, Calais Campbell, on top of his league-leading sack totals and all that stuff. But the point is on Cutter is there is something to see. There is something to see is how hard this team plays closing out the season. Because if they don't play hard, if they don't look like a team that's a badass physical football team that's improving, then I don't think he's got any shot or a leg to stand on. You have to play hard. You have to play competitive football. You have to use the weapons that you have and make the most out of what you have. And in Cutter, I think all Bucks fans would agree, and Cutter would agree, is that for some darn reason, maybe it's Jameis and confidence and the newness of it. I don't know. And when I say Jameis, I mean his injury. But Cutter is not using the weapons he has. O.J. Howard is a dangerous player. Drafted as a matchup nightmare. The team brass was having an orgasm that they actually got O.J. Howard to fall in their lap. Well, use the guy. Use him. Find that matchup nightmare. Exploit it. Pound the rock to him. You know, Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson get a lot of targets. A lot of targets yesterday. DeSean Jackson, though, he's not the player he was in other places. And I don't think it's a lack of speed. It's just they don't know how to use this guy. They haven't figured it out. And that's a problem when you're paying a guy $11 million. And just even look at the first pass of the game. Ball's thrown behind DeSean Jackson. He makes a great catch. I think he got 18 yards or something like that. It might have been the play of the day, and I believe he turned his ankle on that. He was getting treatment afterwards, after that series. He stayed in, he played, and he had a lot of targets. But they're constantly throwing behind him, constantly trying to figure out how to use him. Still haven't hit him on a big home run shot. Here we are, week 12. They haven't hit DeSean Jackson on a home run ball. I mean, come on. Josh McCown's out there throwing home run balls every other week. So it's frustrating. But Cutter, if he wants to keep his job, I got a four-part formula for you. First of all, Dirk, you're playing five good teams to finish the season. You got to find two wins. No excuses not to find two wins. You're good enough to get two wins. If you can't do it, don't ask us to believe that you can resurrect this thing next year. Find a couple of wins. Not unreasonable to ask. Two, keep playing hard. No more blowouts. You can't really consider yesterday a blowout, even though they got boat raced by the Atlanta offense at every turn. Not a blowout. Don't get blown out, Dirk. Play competitive football. Win a couple of games. Keep these rookies developing. And use your weapons. Use your weapons. And, man, if Jameis comes back, Jameis better look good. Or I don't know if there's much hope for Dirk Cutter. And what scares me most is that I'm not sure John Gruden really is the right coach for the Bucs. I'm not saying the guy lost his edge on how to motivate, on how to coach, but he's got to put together a staff. He's got to somehow find a defensive coordinator that he can put complete trust in, like he had with Monty Kiffin. He's also been out of the game a while. Things change. There's a lot to consider. So I don't necessarily, and his offense, does that suit Jameis? Does that suit the talent that's here? Is he willing to be flexible? He wasn't exactly the most flexible guy as a head coach. He didn't even believe in the shotgun when every other team was doing it. He wouldn't do it, didn't like it, didn't have enough faith in it. It's an interesting situation where the Bucks find themselves in. And if you're the Glazers, look, you got three Glazer decision makers. It's hard to get Bucks fans to agree on anything right now. You think all those three guys are agreeing? 15 minutes, Ed Glazer on the field yesterday in Atlanta was having a passionate conversation with general manager Jason Light. What they were talking about, I don't know. Was there yelling? No, but passionate. I'm talking guys close to each other, hands moving, talking, conversation. I don't know what they were talking about. Ed was nowhere to be found after the game. He's usually by the locker room. Didn't see him. Joel and Brian left the locker room. Painful faces on these guys. You know, serious looks. They take it seriously. They take it very seriously. The wins and losses and the state of this team. The team that their father took over. And they honor his legacy. They really do. They want this team to be great. So I don't question ownership on their desire. You can question them on their ability and their savvy, but I wouldn't question the desire one bit. So where do we go? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Green Bay is coming up. They can play. They haven't rolled over. Looked pretty good in Pittsburgh last night. They obviously can put up some points. Their defense has had a lot of issues. Winnable game for the Bucs. Can't lose it. If you look at the schedule, unless you're going to have some sort of amazing turnaround, not a game you can lose. But we still have time to get there. This week, the Jameis thing, he's going to get his MRI today, Monday. Hopefully we get a good report. It would be great to see him back in the lineup. Because if Jameis plays, then there are options, right? If he looks great, well, you feel a little bit better about maybe dealing with riding out his issues. If he doesn't look great, that puts a wrench in things a little bit. Or if he looks great and he ends up suspended by the league, well, maybe it's going to be a lot easier to trade him. And yeah, it is realistic to give up from Jameis Winston if he's lost the faith of too many fans, because the game is about the fans. I mean, we're here if we're fans on JoeBucksFan.com. You're a fan listening to this. The game is about the fans. The organization can never lose sight of the fact that the game is about the fans. And if most fans are completely disgusted and repulsed by Jameis, if he did this groping of the Uber driver, then how do you keep him? And what are you keeping him for? Then you're all about the money. It's a very sticky situation for the Glazers. It really is. And then what happens if sponsors start to pull out? Team sponsors, because they don't want to be associated with a crotch grabber. And suppose some players speak out. Suppose Gerald McCoy speaks out and says, you know, hey, I'm a religious guy and Jameis is disgusting. And if he's here, I don't want to be here. Or other guys say that. I mean, these things could happen. If you have a guy in Jameis' shoes, it's not just as simple as, oh, he was suspended, we'll move on from it, we'll move on. There's a lot at stake. the decision then to pay him as the face of the franchise, which would have to come sooner rather than later. And then the team is wondering whether there's anything else hidden out there, which becomes a problem for them as well. And I can tell you with certainty, the organization was very disappointed that Jameis didn't come clean with this when it happened, because that's what he's supposed to do. And that's information that I've been able to cull, that the organization was not happy. He didn't let him know what happened. And of course, Jameis knew that, hey, you know what? If Uber's investigating me for doing something disgusting to one of their drivers, inappropriate touching of a female driver, yeah, that's something. That's something. Jameis is not a stupid guy. He knew that that was something. He didn't let the Bucks know, to the best of our knowledge, and that just stinks. So, hey, the state of the Bucks is a place right now that nobody can put a finger on. I'm not calling for Dirk Cutter's head. I don't think you should call for Dirk Cutter's head. Every coach deserves a season, and every coach doesn't get an A grade for every season. Unless you're Bill Belichick, there are up years and down years, and there's things you screw up and things that go wrong. Sean Payton would be fired by a lot of people's standards already. They wanted Ron Rivera out of Carolina in the worst way. In the worst way. Amazing that he hung on. Not amazing, because Dave Gettleman was a good GM, and that's a different story, but Ron Rivera, they wanted him out. A lot of fans are ready to move on from Sean Payton. It goes on and on and on. With coaches who wanted out because they lost patience and they saw problems, saw stupidity that they thought should be fixed. I'm not equating Sean Payton with Mr. Cutter, but hey, Ron Rivera, he didn't have a good start. Firing Dirk Cutter, making that decision now, in your head, I think is premature. Let's see what these five games bring. They do mean something. Good coaches coach to the end. Coaches of good teams, their players play to the end. They're not going to mail it in. And we need to see that from Dirk Cutter. They didn't mail it in last year, but, you know, they were in it. They got back in it and they stayed in it. Different mindset. Let's see how this team really handles adversity all the way through the season instead of just 11 games. That would be my request of you or any Bucks fans. Let's just ride it out. Let's see what they're made of. I'd be happy to call for Cutter's head if the team waves a white flag and the coaches can't seem to improve anything. But let's just ride it out. All right. I'm not hearing any of you disagree, so I'm going to pretend you're agreeing. I appreciate listening to the podcast. Google Play, Podbean, iTunes. You can subscribe on all those platforms. Listen on joebucksfan.com. And remember, rookies, next week you'll see it on Joe Bucks Fan. Subscribe to the podcast. It's free. You'll get a nice free alert. DGDoors.com, LakelandFord.com, LakelandAutoMall.com. That's where you want to start for all your needs when it comes to garage doors and vehicles. Discount Garage Doors, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai. And I guess, what can I tell you? Out in Atlanta, nice stadium. The Bucks in the locker room there. I don't want to say the vibe in the locker room was good after a loss, but I thought the guys took it very seriously. Very tough loss. A lot of mixed emotions on, you know, players wanting to keep a good attitude, players being annoyed, players being devastated, players understanding that they just lost to a couple of Hall of Famers, burned them all over the field. There wasn't any sniping at coaches. Chris Baker talked to me about how these guys stick together and will stick together and how hard they'll play. One thing I'll say, Kevin Pamphiel, I didn't write this up on Joe Bucks Fan yet. Kevin Pamphiel, I'm not going to say he was a happy guy, but you know what? He didn't hesitate from telling me that he was very happy to be playing full-time again and that it does make a difference to play full-time versus rotating with Evan Smith. He appreciated getting into the momentum and the flow of the game and all that kind of stuff. Now, yeah, that last play by Ryan Fitzpatrick on the Bucks' final meaningful drive, Don Terry Poe split Pamphiel and Ali Marpet up the gut and put pressure on Fitzpatrick, which led to that play getting screwed up. But I didn't think Panfield played too badly, and they moved the ball a little bit. The holes were a little bit more. I didn't think they were so terrible to begin with before that, but they were a little better in the running game. Maybe some continuity was built, maybe a little more confidence. I don't know. The D-line from Atlanta had been playing pretty well. So we'll see. Donovan Smith bounced back from a couple, from a handful of bad games. Bounced back. Not surprised. Guy's got a lot of talent. Guy has a lot of pride. You may not believe that, but that's the reality. And he's certainly no worse than average in the NFL, and somebody's going to have to get more out of this guy. I'd put even some of that on coaching. Got to get more out of the O-line. And you know what? We're going to leave it at that. My voice is getting shot. Too much Atlanta fun. Too much Bucks stress. These Monday morning podcasts killing me. I know that they kill you too on your Monday morning when the Bucks lose. You lose all that pep in your step and that fun and that zest for life that comes with a good freaking football team. And you can wear your T-shirt with pride, but not today. All right, thanks for listening to Monday Morning Joe. Thanks for reading JoeBucksFan.com. We'll see you next week.